Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mary Holm is in. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Jesse.
Great to see you.
Thank you.
We're going to talk about KiwiSaver for children today.
Yes, I mean, it's a perennial subject, really. And I was looking up, and we did talk about it about a year ago, but I've thought of a couple of other points to make. And in any case, I think people want to be reminded. I mean, people do keep asking. And we got an email, you might want to read it, from Joan. It was actually a little while ago, but I hope she hasn't minded waiting.
Well, your mailbox is stuffed, Mary.
It does get
stuffed
a bit full.
Full of letters.
Yes, it does.
Joan writes, I would like to open a KiwiSaver account for my daughter. When I proposed this to a bank, they asked me if I would consider an investment account with their bank instead. And now I'm not sure what would be the best course of action. Perhaps Mary could share her thoughts.
Sure. And I have to say that often this is what happens to people. They've got an idea to do some kind of investment and someone says, well, you might want to try something else. And then you get stuck. You're trying to think of which one to do and you don't do either. Mm. And your money, I mean, in this case, it's opening a child's account. But it's a real pity sometimes where we have too many choices.
And it's also probably not surprising that when you ask the bank for advice, they give you advice which also happens to be in their interests.
Well, yes, although I presume they would have opened the KiwiSaver account would have been with them as well. And there are pros and cons. What I think we should do here is talk mostly or first about KiwiSaver and children and then come to back to Joan's question about whether, in fact, it would be better for the child to be in an investment account, which is basically like KiwiSaver, but not within the scheme, and so you can get your money in and out, basically.
Okay.
So,
what is the deal for kids?
You can sign them up any time from the day they're born. The legal guardian signs up the child, and in some ways, it doesn't look like that good a deal because they don't get any contributions from the government, and they legally don't get any contributions from an employer. An employer is not obliged to give anyone up to 18. Once you get to 18, they are obliged to make contributions, but until then, they're not. But I have heard of a lot of employers who do. If a kid's got a teenager's got a part-time job, because it doesn't cost the employer very much to put in 3% of this pretty low pay, and it's nice for the kids to. So sometimes that happens anyway. The child, there's no auto-enrolment in KiwiSaver when a child starts a job either. So if you don't put your child in and when they're a teenager they get a part-time job, if they're under 18, they're not automatically enrolled in the same way that over 18s are. So in some ways you say, well, there's not much happening in KiwiSaver for kids. But I should actually just add to that, if they are already in KiwiSaver because the parents got them in when they were littler, when they get a job then, they will be obliged to contribute 3% of their pay, unless they take a saving suspension. But I would suggest you absolutely encourage them to put 3% of their pay in from the very beginning like that.
So they never know any different.
That's right. Yeah. That's just what happens. Yes, yeah. So I think it's a great idea to sign them up, and I'll explain why now, really.
Yeah.
If you can make small contributions yourself into the KiwiSaver, for example, if you put in $20 a week and you've got it in an aggressive, so a high-risk fund, and you do it for 18 years, it'll total more than $30,000 probably. Even though there's no government contributions, there's no employer contributions, it'll probably, in an aggressive fund, grow to about $30,000, which is a great thing for kids when they're 18 to know that they've got, that's a pretty good start,
yeah.
really, 30,000. And the other thought is that relatives and friends might want to contribute. Sometimes aunties and uncles, perhaps they don't have children of their own, or their children have grown, or for whatever, or grandparents, or but also friends that say, "Oh, look, I'd really like to help this child. Maybe it's your godchild for whatever reason." And I suggest you set up an automatic transfer into their KiwiSaver so that it just happens. It might be $5 a week, but it all actually adds up over the years, and it's a terrific thing to do to help a kid.
Yeah.
And as the child's getting to be a teenager, depends on how interested they are in this kind of thing, but it's a good idea to show them the way the fund's growing. And what's more, if it's in a high-risk fund, it's going to go down sometimes, and show them that. To let them take an interest in how the balance is going up and down.
Yes.
They're learning about the share markets as they're going through, and the savings habit is there. And talk to them about it being for a first home, I think. There's no reason not to say it will also help you when you're old like grandma. But I don't think that's very meaningful for children. But you get some young people hell bent on owning a home who own one in their early 20s, even in the current market. And for the more usual person, that might be into it when they're 30. But the point is that if you're talking to them about getting started on a home, that makes the whole thing a little bit more interesting for them. And then when the kid turns 18, at that point, right from their 18th birthday, suddenly they're getting government contributions, the same as everybody else. If they're putting in $20 a week or up to $1,042 a year, the government puts in $1 for every two they put in. So it's a really good idea. I mean, quite often an 18-year-old might be in tertiary study somewhere. Give them... start getting that money into them. If you've always been putting $20 in a week, well, that's fine. Just keep doing it, and suddenly the government will as well.
Yeah.
But if you haven't, and in fact, if you can't really afford it, maybe, plan on doing it when they turn 18, just to really give them a hand to get started then. Or if they're working part-time but they're not making enough to get in $1,042 a year, excuse me, you give them a hand.
Can I ask Mary, the story so far, up until they turn 18, is there any advantage being in KiwiSaver to get all these things versus being in just some other sort of managed fund? I mean, everything that you're telling us about the benefits, they would get those benefits whether
they're
in KiwiSaver or some other...
That's right.
Unnamed fund.
And so Joan's question with the bank suggesting some other fund might be better... That you'd get the same sort of growth if you're going into a high risk, or if you're going, medium risk or whatever. Many of the KiwiSaver providers offers funds at the same risk level outside KiwiSaver, and you can get your money out, which is the key thing.
Yeah, although actually one of our listeners has been in touch. We were in Joan's situation last year, and we decided to open up KiwiSaver accounts for our two children, because it meant that we couldn't touch it and they couldn't use it unless they were buying a house. We were thinking that was a deal breaker for us, because when we were 18, we may have just drunk it.
That's a really good point.
So there are benefits to locking it in, not just drawbacks.
Keeping your sticky fingers off it.
Yeah.
That's a really good point, yes. And the other important point, I think, is getting them actually into the scheme makes a huge difference. If you leave it for a child to make their own decision, and I've had people say to me, it's not my right to make this decision for my child, but you're not really committing them to much, because they can go on saving suspensions if they want to whenever they get a job and they're obliged to put in 3%, they can say no and do that all the way through to 65 if they want to. So you're not really...
Might not be your right, it might be your obligation.
Well, you could argue that our parents, it's ideally they do this. The thing, one thought that sort of crossed my mind the other day thinking about this is that if you just leave it for the child to do it themselves, and let's say they're at university or something, and they're as your texter said they might be too busy drinking all the money, all the spare money they've got, or whatever else they're getting up to. They might not get round to joining until, you know, they're well into their 20s. So just one little example I put here, assuming you're in an aggressive fund throughout, which is a brave assumption, I'll get back to that in a minute, but assuming you are, if you start at 18, you might save, and you're putting in 3% of your pay, you might save 1.3 million by the time you're 67. I'm saying 67, not 65, because I think by the time the young ones retire, it probably will be 67. Okay. So if you start at 18, you save 1.3 million. If you start at 25, you save 800,000. That's a big difference between 800,000 and 1.3 million. And that's the difference between the one that is in at 18 because their parents put them in and the one who kind of gets round to it themselves at 25. Yeah. And I mean, if you if you can get the kids interested in contributing 10% too, I mean, they can contribute actually any amount, but through the workplace you can contribute, I think it's 3, 4, 6, 8, 10, something like that. And if you get young people putting it in from the very start, they get used to just not having that money.
Yeah.
And if they contribute 10%, they could end up with 1.8 million or 2.6 million. If they start at 25, 1.8 million. If they start at 18, 2.6 million. Now, those numbers, by the time they get to 67, of course, inflation will have, those numbers won't mean quite what they do now. But nonetheless, they're retiring with big money.
Yeah,
they get in when they're young.
The number zero will still mean what it means now.
Yes, it will.
They haven't got anything.
That's right. Yeah. It'll mean not a whole lot of fun in retirement, perhaps.
Yeah. In fact, yeah, just another nice message here. I always enjoy Mary's segments. I signed my two children up to KiwiSaver way back when you got the $500 government incentive. My daughter is now 22 and studying full time, and I said to put 10% in KiwiSaver. That's like $10, and every $100 is something you get used to, just as you said, Mary. She now has $10,000, and she hasn't even yet started working full time.
Fantastic.
Same with my 18-year-old son who's just started work. They also have money in Sharpies and savings. I'm feeling very proud of them. Maybe she means Sharpies, I think, in savings. So
yes.
Very proud of her children.
Yeah, and justifiably, you know, that and that getting that 10% in from the beginning. I think I told you a while back about a 23-year-old who wrote to me for my Herald column who owned a house at 23 because when he started working, he just saved about half his income. And the thing is that before then, you're used to making
nothing.
You're
on a student.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so if you just sort of take up that mentality, you know, you can do amazing things.
Tell you what, it was a really nice thing to start spending that first paycheck, though, after 4 years of student life.
I know, and I agree. It was.
But I always think that when you often say when you get a pay rise, Mary, just to not take the pay rise and put it into something else. It's a really good idea, but there's something quite sweet about suddenly feeling just a little bit more comfortable.
Of course, there. And I think what I always say actually is spend a bit of it. And you know, but take half the pay rise and spend it all. And if when you've finally paid off your mortgage, go and you know, with the money that was going into the mortgage, blow it for a month or two. You know, just so, you know, some weekend trip or
a windfall that you get. You don't need to put it all on your mortgage.
No.
You can have a nice dinner.
Absolutely, or even more than a nice dinner. But yeah. So we've got to balance these things off, but we better, because we're getting a bit short of time here. Well, one point I just wanted to make when I was giving those examples of saving 1.8 million versus 2.6 million if they're contributing 10%, and that's a 18-year-old will end up with 2.6 million and a 25-year-old will end up with 1.8 million. Those are very rough calculations, but big difference. Adjusting for inflation, that's about 700,000 versus 1 million, according to the sorted calculator. But one point, I was assuming that you're using an aggressive fund throughout, if you were saving for a first home, I strongly recommend that when you get within about 10 years of spending that money, you move to lower risk and reduce your risk as you get closer to spending time. But then after you've got the first home, then go back into the riskier until you're close to retirement, and then you might want to reduce your risk again at that point as well. But
we've always operated on the basis that there was nothing actually extra risky about a high-risk fund. It was just that it was more volatile and you may have to wait. Is that true of aggressive funds as well? Because to me, aggressive kind of hints that there's some sort of like speculative nature to it, or you might be in cryptocurrency or something, which is totally unreliable.
Well, indeed. No, a really good question. And I'm not sure that aggressive is a good term, but it's a term that the Retirement Commission uses and others use. And it just means the highest risk ones. And it, basically, most of them are invested fully in shares, or some of them might have 10 or 20% in commercial property as well.
Okay.
But there are also, there is a crypto KiwiSaver fund, which we talked about before, and there are some, there's at least one that borrows to invest in shares, so that ups the ante. Mm. So there are some really quite high risk investments, were certainly high volatility, but when they're purely in shares and commercial property, they're not risky in the sense that you might lose all your money.
The same old rules should apply.
Okay. Yeah, it's just the volatility going on there. Yeah, but getting back to Joan's email, so she said, had the banks suggesting maybe to put it into an investment account instead of into KiwiSaver. And that's not a stupid suggestion, largely because you can get the money out whenever you want to. It might take a few days, but, you know, it's not stuck in there like it is in KiwiSaver. And a lot of people want to save their children for university, and you can't do that in KiwiSaver. You can't get the money out when you need it. So if you wanted to set aside a fund for the child to go to university, or perhaps to start a business, or to travel. Some people say, you know, you shouldn't be funding a child's travel, they should save for themselves, but that depends on your attitude. So you might want to do a bit of that as well, saving in an investment account, which is a non-KiwiSaver fund, basically. But the main reason I'm not so keen on that is that, well, apart from the fact that the young person can get it out and blow it all on booze or clothes or anything, the other thing is that they're not in the system, in the KiwiSaver system. Mm. And I think there's so much, partly because they can't get access to the money, and because whenever they get a job, they're going to automatically have 3% taken out of their pay, unless they go on a savings suspension. But they've got to actually take the action of doing that. And most people don't. They just let it be. And so the money does keep coming into their KiwiSaver. And so I think that just getting the kids into that system and engaging them while they're going through their teens, actually, and showing them how their account, it's gone down this year, you know, show them that as well. And say, hang in there, you know, it'll come right, because it will.
It's a great opportunity to teach them the KiwiSaver habit.
Yeah. It does, yes. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Roy, who's been waiting. I'll come to you in a moment. Just one quick thought from somebody on the difference between a KiwiSaver account and a non-KiwiSaver account. They ask, is it true that maybe the KiwiSaver fees might be a little lower because of the requirements?
Yeah, it is. It's possibly because of competition too, and the FMA, Financial Markets Authority, is watching them closely. So that's not true in absolutely every case, but usually the fees are a little bit lower in KiwiSaver, and that's, over the years, that makes a difference. So it's a good point. So thanks, someone, for bringing that one up.
Great show. Jesse and Mary, however, normalising teenage drinking went out in the 2010s. Nowadays, young people are wiser and eschewing the alcohol binge culture we grew up in and can't afford it either, says Hamish. Fair enough,
eh? Yeah, no, I've heard that, and that's pretty good, isn't it?
I
think you probably find that some teens are still quite good at blowing their money on something.
Okay.
Thank
you. Great to see you.
Okay, you too, Jesse.
Mary Holm and talking KiwiSaver for kids today. Your thoughts always welcome on 2101.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.